The lobby of the Asian Resource Center is very ordinary. It has gray tiled floors, the imitation marble kind, and white walls. A security guard sits on a rolling office chair behind a desk at the front. All in all, it's a nondescript place. Or it would be, if not for the huge tent in the center of the floor. Jessica Prado points it out to me.
Okay, so this is a six-person tent. So it's like about 10 feet by 10 feet. So basically, what you see here is a colorful fly. It has been painted kind of like a camouflage of like different swatches of color, just kind of like stained glass pieces. And then we fill the cracks with glitter, with gold glitter, because you fill the cracks with gold, right?
I'm here to see the art of the Concrete and Cardboard Collective and meet its five core members, Jessica Prado, Nita B, Ayat Jalal, Tuan Nguyen, and Tim Petty. All of them are or were unhoused artists living in Berkeley and Oakland. They're a mostly Black, Brown, and Indigenous artist collective. Communities of color are the hardest hit by displacement in the Bay Area. In Oakland, nearly 70% of unhoused people are Black, and encampment residents are disproportionately Black, Indigenous, and people of color. The tent is part of a larger exhibit from the collective. It takes up a lot of floor space. It's gray with orange accents and a yellow rainfly. It's the kind of tent you might buy at a big department store like Walmart for cheap, maybe to use for a few days at a well-appointed campsite. It's painted on all sides, and the front entrance has cardboard letters hanging off that read, Sanctuary. On the side, dozens of photos hang in plastic sleeves, adorned with names.
And then, so basically on one side, you can see like different clear sleeves that has the names of people that have passed away in 2019 and 2020 that were unhoused. So we basically made like a little, it's a memorial tent. So paying a tribute to the people that, you know, have passed away and had to survive in the streets, right?
Along with the tent are about a dozen photographs that Jessica took. They show people who, like her, live in vehicles in Berkeley. She points to one.
And then this is Merced, you know? She always likes to take care of her garden, even though it's just a patch of dirt that belongs to the construction company. You know, she nurtured the land just to be, you know, to be something beautiful.
The person in the photo looks to be in her 50s or 60s, though it's hard to tell. She stands in front of a lush patch of nasturtium between the sidewalk and the chain link fence. Pigeons are flocking around her. She looks serene and powerful. She's standing in a wide stance, her hands tucked behind her back, watching the birds.
I just wanted to capture the moments where, like, you know, usually, like, people don't see, you know, because a lot of people just see the cluster of vehicles. They don't see who actually is living in them and why they're here and how they got here. And, but yeah, basically, I was trying just to do that with my photography, just talk about those stories that kind of get lost, you know, and I just talk to them and basically talk about them as people, you know, not just vehicles, because I feel like that gets thrown a lot, you know. They always just see them as, these vehicles gotta move.
The artwork made by the Concrete and Cardboard Collective ranges from documentary film, like the one Nita made, which plays in the lobby. Oh,
yeah. And I call it a mixtape because it is a collection of, like I said, found videos, videos people gave to me, and interviews that we conducted.
To paintings by Ayat.
I paint impressionistic art.
To installation art, like the toilet Tim brought in, which has a handwritten sign on it that reads, Customers Only. The C and the S in the word customers have lines through them, like dollar and cent signs.
Maybe they don't want to kill me by starving me, but they should certainly want to herd me by restricting my access to the restroom. And so if they're willing to do that to people, then something's wrong. Mm.
All of the artwork at the exhibit is about the experience of being unhoused. For the artists, it's a form of protest for their rights. to have a place to sleep, to use the restroom, to not be criminalized for simply existing. And none of the members of the collective are new to protesting. In fact, they say that's what brought them together.
Is someone getting arrested right now? Someone's getting arrested?
Shame! 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 Shame!
Back in November of 2019, activists from several advocacy organizations built a housing justice village outside of Oakland City Hall. Around 70 people pitched tents and camped out. They were demanding justice for unhoused people and changes to Oakland's encampment policy. Nita B was on Facebook Live during the protest. In one of the videos she posted that night, she's sitting inside of a tent, much like the one in the gallery. She says it's late at night and police are starting to hassle protesters.
They are breaking into people's tents illegally and unlawfully. They are illegally breaking into people's tents. They are breaking locks without a search warrant. I was about to go to sleep.
Here's Nita reflecting on that night months later.
By 11 o'clock that night, DPW and OPD were sent out to destroy our village and 22 of us were arrested.
DPW, the Department of Public Works, and OPD, the Oakland Police. By the end of the night, Nita, Ayat, Tuan, and Tim would all be arrested. I found a video of Nita's arrest online. Just a quick warning here, the footage is disturbing. Nita is wearing a white headscarf and a crocheted white sweater. She is dragged out of her tent by four police officers, each one holding one of her arms and legs. The scene cuts out as Nita screams at the officers to put her down. The next scene shows her walking on her own.
You are violating my constitutional rights.
You can turn your back away.
You're hurting me. You're hurting me. Let go. Let go.
Wait, ma'am.
Two white-presenting male officers tower over on either side of her, holding her arms at the elbow. Nita looks tiny in comparison. This Filipina woman, who even with a headscarf, barely reaches their shoulders. Nita says the arresting officers injured her shoulder during the arrest. She says she wasn't able to get treatment until after she got out of jail and nursed her arm in a sling for the next 3 weeks. Nita and the other demonstrators were arrested and held in Santa Rita Jail, some for up to 48 hours. But the protest that night was a catalyst, because it proved something to the future collective members.
Every time we step up, we literally get repressed. Our property gets destroyed. We get set back. Our yurts have been destroyed. Our campers have been towed. Our property has been destroyed. People have died because of the evictions, literally have died.
After the protest, Nita got to work on creating the collective. Ayat, Tuan, and Jessica all joined soon after.
As unhoused people, we're already criminalized. We're already seen as worthless. We're already seen as other, and we're already invisible. It's very difficult to assert that we're humans and that we have the same rights as somebody who has a house over their head.
But maybe, they thought, there was a way for them to use art to break through that wall of invisibility. Here's Ayat.
Oftentimes, even if you're telling someone the truth, like about gentrification, if someone's job is working for them and you're telling them, hey, well, you know, I know y'all out here chilling, but, you know, you're enjoying Oakland, but literally you coming and enjoying Oakland is really the reason why I'm homeless. You know, you can't go up and talk to somebody like that. You know, that's letting someone know that you're immorally living. With art, you break through all of those things. And you give a person a chance to really look inside themselves. And that goes back to the core thing that, you know, inside of humans is this thing called humanity. Even if people lie to themselves, you know, you can't deny, you know, art touches that. Music touches that. Poetry, you know?
And thus, the Concrete and Cardboard Artist Collective was born. The members started to work together on projects. They brainstormed ways to get their art out into public spaces and to uplift unhoused artists. Here are some of the core tenets of the Concrete and Cardboard Collective, as read by the members.
To explore the platform of art for the expression of our stories as to alter the narratives of society.
to remind people of our shared humanity through art.
To amplify the individual voice, passion, and desires in the heart of we the people.
To join in solidarity with all who fight against oppression of the human spirit.
To alter the conditions that have caused great dis-ease in today's society, and to stand against the death of humanity.
That brings us back to the exhibit at the Asian Resource Center, with the painted tent in the middle. Part of it is from the one Tuan used while living on the streets, specifically the rainfly, the part that kept Tuan dry.
Fly was used for about 9 to 10 months before it started showing, deteriorated a bit. So
when you go inside the tent, you can see the light shining through the worn holes in the fabric, trickling in like sunlight through the branches of trees. Here's Jessica.
So when the light shines through the inside, you're able to see all the tears and all the cracks from the that the fabric has sustained, right? So you're able to see, like, if it wasn't for this piece of thin fabric, like all those scars, all those things would be in people's skin, right? So it kind of also to, like, you know, give people an idea. And you can also walk in. Yeah.
We step inside the tent. The inside of the tent has splatters of pink on it from where they painted all of the pieces adorning the outside. Tuan and Jessica worked on the tent in short spurts, slowly, over weeks. Big cardboard letters on the side read, "We will survive this moment, together." And even though the tent seems like it's taking up a lot of space on the lobby floor,
it's just barely enough space for one person to live, you know? It's only 10 by 10 feet.
It's hard to imagine keeping all of my belongings in this space. It's sold as a 6-person tent, but for that many people to actually fit, they would have to squeeze. Picture 6 adults lying side by side on the floor, their sides touching. The 3 of us crouch to get inside. I'm the tallest one, and it's tight. This squeeze strikes me as a metaphor for what the Concrete and Cardboard Collective is doing. They're claiming space, placing a bright and bulky tent in the middle of this ordinary lobby, asking people to squeeze inside, to have the embodied experience of entering a tent and really thinking about how your body fits into it. Inside the tent, you can clearly still hear everything happening outside. People walking through the lobby, stopping and chatting, a janitor pushing a big trash can on wheels into the elevator. It's simultaneously so ordinary, but so jarring. When you enter the tent, you're suddenly somewhere totally different than the lobby. Somewhere separate. You're part of the space, and at the same time not. It's a private space, and also very exposed. And it brings up this question. Whose space is this? Here's Ayat.
Yeah, that's why they call it real estate. It's the only real thing, you know, that you ever have is land, is place, because power is the ability to hold, to stand where you are.
Ayat has been an outspoken activist for civil rights for most of his life. He describes himself as a Panther cub, the child of 2 Black Panther parents. He says he was part of the Occupy SF movement back in 2011, and he's known Nita B for years, including from a tiny home village for families that was violently evicted by Oakland police in 2017.
Yeah, we were building houses, putting all the dope needles and bubbles up. There was this vacant lot that, you know, nobody wanted for years and years and years. You know, who knows what happened there? And it got bulldozed, so I was almost housed finally, and then I was ripped away, so I got into the politics of it.
Like that village, nothing that the collective creates is permanent. As unhoused people, the members of the collective live in this in-between place, a human-constructed no-man's land where they exist but are invisibilized. Like their lives and belongings, the art they create is real, but it's also constantly in threat of being destroyed. They all say that they've experienced the trauma of being displaced or evicted from their homes. Even in the gallery, Tuan worries that they'll have to take down the tent because some people have complained it takes up too much space in the lobby. Many of the artists have lost irreplaceable art over the years, art that they made to survive the experience of living on the streets. Here's Nita again. A note here, you can hear the sound of Tuan eating next to us in this clip.
And then for me, I was brought up in an artistic family, but like I really dive into my own art, not realizing at the time, but it was my therapy. It actually saved my life because I was able to purge my trauma and purge the oppression I had faced that I didn't have vocabulary for, that I didn't know how to deal, that was sending me to really dark and self-destructive places. But I believe that I'm alive today because of art.
But during another violent eviction by the city of Oakland, Nita's writing was destroyed.
They threw away a crate of my writings. You know, writings that I had been keeping around and lugging around every year because one day I'm going to make a book. Maybe three of them. That got thrown away. That's some of my best writing. That's why I kept held on to it, because I'm like, this is going to be something one day.
For the Concrete and Cardboard Collective, the act of being unhoused is an act of perseverance and resistance. And what they do is make art that forces people to look at that reality. They do that with their protest signs, their paintings and photographs, their public works. They do it by making the public see the people who live in the vehicles on the side of the road, watering their gardens. They do it by continuing to make new things when the old stuff gets destroyed.
Being homeless, I got to a point where, yeah, no matter my poems, no matter anything else, my screaming and shouting got to a point where I had to go deeper into myself to continue. And what I found kept me going was art. It had nothing to do with how much money I had in my pocket. You know, it had nothing to do with my belief in the system that continually failed me. You know, my strength came from me remembering who I was and from me expressing my feelings on canvas.
A janitor comes in and starts mopping. Before we leave, Jessica tells me one last thing about the tent in the center. Earlier, I had wondered why the tent had gold glitter in its cracks. Now she points to the refracted colors painted on the rainfly, tessellating out in jagged pieces.
The way that we perceive people is like they're broken, right? So like that's why you see different swatches of like color, like to like represent the brokenness. But we're still coming together. And we're filling, you know, that brokenness with, you know, positive things, you know, with love, with friendship, unity. And that's why the cracks are filled with gold, you know. We're all living in this moment, but, you know, we're going to survive. And then it's going to take for us to do it together. We can't survive on our own. It takes all of us to actually survive. We don't know how we're going to live the next moment, but we just know we got to get through this moment right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the Concrete and Cardboard Artists Collective is doing exactly that. Despite the system's best efforts to invisibilize them, Ayat, Tuan, Tim, Jessica, and Nita remain. They make art. They take up space. They make people ask themselves hard questions. And they're doing all of that while still surviving and caring for each other in a place that might rather they not be there. I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. In Oakland, Chinatown, I'm Jalen Herdman for KPFA.